May we keep in mind that God the Father and the Lord Jesus are still here with us. So as we look at His Word, as we open His Word, may we receive by the power of the Holy Spirit in us exactly what He has for us today. You know, in the liturgical church, which in case you didn't recognize, we're not really real liturgical. But in the liturgical church calendar, this is the first Sunday of Advent. And if you look at the definition of Advent, it's defined as the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event, or as the first season in the Christian church year. So as the world looks at this as the end of the year, the Christian church calendar was actually established that this would be the first, the beginning, leading up. So it's the season of the Christian church year, the first season leading up to Christmas and including the four preceding Sundays. Or the final definition is the coming or the second coming of Christ. And this year, or at least today, while we celebrate those first two, I want us to be encouraged to look at and to focus on that last definition. Rather than getting caught up in the war on Christmas and being offended that people want to try and take Christ out of Christmas, let's not focus only on the baby who was born 2,000 years ago, but on the Christ the King, who's coming again. You know, I like what Matt said last week, and I alluded to it earlier, that we shouldn't be worked up or upset when people talk about happy holidays rather than Merry Christmas. Because the word holiday is shortened from the two words, holy day. And you know, what day is more holy than the day that God came to earth to be with us? One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And in Revelation 1:8, the vision of the end time when Jesus returns. Again, Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You know, I can't help but think that if the world is offended by a baby in a manger, the one who was, the one who came, how will they possibly receive the coming conquering King, the Jesus who is to come? But what about us, those of us who know that He is coming? 2 Peter 3:11 and 12 says this. It says, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God? Are we looking forward to the day of the Lord? You know, for me, and I've said it before, I kind of have mixed feelings about that. There's certainly a part of me that echoes what Revelation 22:20 says. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Yet on the other hand, there's so many of my family and friends, there's so many people that I work with and interact with every day that are not ready. It's because they don't believe in the baby who was born 2,000 years ago, or the man Jesus who died on the cross for their sins. They aren't ready for the one that is to come. So considering that so many are not ready, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? What should our focus be this Christmas season? You know, it's easy to get caught up in both the business and the busyness of Christmas. How many of you were part of the Black Friday mad list? Anybody go out and get in that stuff? We got one brave soul back there. I had to work, and where I work, the traffic was backed up for almost 2 miles just to get into the outlets. Not for me. But, you know, for myself, I've always kind of liked to leave a little bit for Christmas Eve, to go out that day before Christmas, and you know, in some ways that's just as much madness. And, you know, either time or either way, it can be a real challenge when you're dealing with the traffic and you're dealing with the parking lots and you're dealing with the long lines and you're dealing with the other people. It can be a real challenge to be people of holy conduct and godliness in the stores and the parking lots this time of year. You know, and whether we like that part or whether we hate that part, that's not what Christmas is about. So that's my cue to get that ready if we can. We're not quite there yet. But how many of you followed through with the action plan from last week when Matt said that part of the action plan was that we would watch a Charlie Brown Christmas? Now, I have to admit that when I went to get it, it's not on Netflix. And if I went to get it on demand, I had to pay $12 for it. So I didn't fulfill that part. But if we have it ready, there's a brief excerpt from it here.
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I have to admit that that was always a favorite part of that show. I'm glad I grew up in a time when it was considered acceptable to say those things, even in a public school, because my fifth grade class did that show. They did the Charlie Brown as our Christmas play, and I had the privilege of declaring those verses from Luke 2, the verses of scripture from that show, to hundreds of family and friends gathered that night. And now, 50 years later, I'm privileged to declare it again. You know, and long before Jesus came, long before that night when the angels gave that message, in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, it says this, it says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, it says that there will be no end to his government. You know, and many today aren't happy with the governments on earth. And, you know, at least in this country, we have elections that give us an opportunity to change those earthly governments. But the true government, the one that's established in and on Christ, that one will have no end. And there's no one that can vote Jesus out of the office of king. He is King forever. But let's return to that question that Peter asks. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So if we look at it in the context, not just that isolated verse, in 2 Peter 3 through 15, it says this. Know this. First of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and by the water, through which the world at the time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we're looking for a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So I want to look again at the first part first. Know this, first of all, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking. I would say we could say that that is being fulfilled. Following after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Goes, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The very ones who are mockers, the very ones today who don't believe in Christ, and so they continue following after their own lusts, these are the ones that God is showing the grace of his patience. He's giving them time to repent. And just as when Christ was on the cross, there were those that were mocking him then, his response wasn't to ask God to call down fire from heaven. It wasn't to ask God to strike them down, but instead he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The text says, though, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all of these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day of the Lord, because which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. His promise we're looking for is the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Knowing that the Lord will return, we as believers should look forward with an eager anticipation of that. Because we know that we will not be judged because Christ himself was already judged for us. So it's not the judgment that we need to fear, but rather it's the heaven and earth where righteousness dwells according to his promise that we look forward to. Revelation 21:4 says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Surely that's something that we can look forward to with eager anticipation. Still, we need to answer that question that Peter asks, what sort of people ought you to be? And Peter in the text answers it. He says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. You know, it's not that we regard God's patience as salvation, not our salvation, but that patience is grace to those who have not yet believed or trusted Christ. It's their salvation. Therefore, we should be diligent to be peaceful and blameless. We should walk as those who have both received and demonstrate the grace of God's patience. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus exhorts us and says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So we should live as lights in the darkness of the world, not as those who keep pointing out the darkness. We don't need to engage in that war with those who are in darkness. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The light of Christ that shines through us and the righteousness and the love and the grace toward those who do not believe is what will dispel the darkness. The text says, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just also as our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in his letter speaking to them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they also do the rest of scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. So we need to guard ourselves that we aren't led astray. And you know, we've heard before that we have this tendency to become like that which we look at, that which we focus on. And so those that tend to focus on evil, those that are looking for what's evil and bad and dark everywhere in our culture and society so that they can point it out, often those people are themselves overcome by that very darkness. We need to focus on the light. We need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to know Jesus and we need to grow in Jesus. Not being overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good. So this Christmas season, rather than engaging in that war on Christmas, rather than going and pointing out all the evil and the darkness that the world holds, may we be light. May we not so much focus on the baby that was born 2,000 years ago, but rather demonstrate who he is. May the light of Christ shine through us, because just as he is manifested here in our presence, we manifest his light when we go in the world. May the world see Christ in us and through us. And may it finally come that the world, or that the darkness of the world, could comprehend the light. Oftentimes, one of the symbols of the Christmas season, and one that draws some of that conflict with the world, is the symbol of the Nativity, the symbol of a baby in a manger, is said to be offensive to some. But let us remember this Christmas that the manger is empty. And so is the cross, and so is the grave. So may we declare this Christmas season, He who is to come, the triumphant conquering King. As we get ready to celebrate Christmas, may our Christmas wish, our prayer, our desire, and our purpose be aligned with the desire of God, that all would come to repentance, that none would perish, and that all we know would be ready for He who is to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord Jesus Christ, He who is and was and is to come, that You are the unchanging God, eternally King. We thank You that there is no end to Your rule and to Your reign. We thank You that You came as a baby. You lived as a man. You died on the cross. And were raised from the grave. But we are even more glad that You're coming again. So help us, Holy Spirit, to live as lights in this dark world. Not that we would engage evil for evil, but that we would overcome evil with good. May our lights shine so that they would see our good works and glorify You, Father. May they come to know Jesus as Savior, as Redeemer, as Lord, and as King of Kings. Yes, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.